We're holding Igelot Teiman, the second section of Igelot Teiman, and we're going to switch now because the Machon has the Rambam Lam edition. Machon has many copies of that, so we're going to switch now to the Rambam Lam edition, which is a different translation. We're holding page Kuf Lamed Zayin in the Rambam Lam edition, which is page Kuf Lamed Aleph in the Rav Shilat edition, and they're almost identical. If anyone's following online with our Rav Shilat edition, you'll be able to follow because it's almost identical. And what you mentioned about that rebellious, the apostate, Sheikhnis Belibot Ha'am, that he convinced people, Shemilat Bim'od Me'od, that when God said in Bereshis, Bim'od Me'od, Hu Ne'emar Lam Shuga, that said about the person who went insane. And this is the Rambam's reference to Muhammad. And they wanted to say, this person tried to convince them that Muhammad is alluded to in the Torah, because Muhammad is the gematria of the words Bim'od Me'od. When God promised, he said, V'arbetzachai, he said to Avram, I'll make your children multiply Bim'od Me'od, much. So they wanted to claim at the time that when the verse states, when God told Avram, your offsprings will multiply Bim'od Me'od, that's an allusion to Muhammad. And notice the Rambam doesn't even call him by name yet. He calls him the insane one. V'chen ma she'amar, and that to which it says in the Torah, in the description of God's giving the Torah, it says, Hofia mehar Paran, God appeared from the mountains of Paran. So again, they wanted to say that romez alav, that it's an allusion to him. You have Shoko back there. Rogalach, help yourself. V'chen ma she'amar, and so too that which it says also in Devarim that Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jewish people, Navi mikirbecha me'achecha kamoni yakim lecha Hashem. God says, I will appoint for you a prophet from your brethren like me. Notice, stresses from your brethren. From your brethren, the Jewish people. And he wanted to say that's a reference to Muhammad. V'chen avtachato liYishmael, and so too the promise to Yishmael, untativ legoy gadol, I will make him into a great nation. So all of these, they wanted to say, are references to Islam, references to Muhammad. Dvarim elu, these words, says the Rambam, kfar nidchu v'nisteru merov argalatam b'fi hakol. They've already been disproven, they've already been pushed off center stage because everyone knew these claims. So you don't need me. People before me already came along and said this is ridiculous. Velo ne'emar b'hem shehem b'tachlit ha'chalishut bilvad, and not only are they as weak as can be, aval omrim shetzchoku v'itu lakach ne'em haya, but beyond that we would say that it's foolishness. It's playing games to try and bring these as proofs. Ve'en dvarim she'enam mevim safek b'shum panim v'afil b'lev ha'amun. And these words are so worthless, says the Rambam, that they don't cause anyone doubt, and even the masses don't have hesitations because of these claims. V'aposhim b'atzmam hamsachkim b'dvarim eilu en da'atam shekenu. And even those rebellious ones who play games and they use these claims, they don't really believe that these claims have any validity. Gam enam mistapkim b'hem, they too, this doesn't cause them, they're not satiated with these. What they mean to do by quoting these verses is to say, we also believe in the Tanakh. We also believe in the Bible. This is a way of saying we're not contradicting what it says in the Bible. The Bible says, God told Avram, your children will be a chosen nation. The Bible says that Moshe was the greatest prophet. So now they're coming along and going a different route. So they want to make believe, like to say to the nations, we affirm the Bible also. So how do they do that? They try to find places in the Bible where they can say, oh, that's an allusion to what we're doing also. אבל הקלון שאומר שמשוגע כתוב בתורה, but this shame that he wants to say that the insane one is written in the Torah, וישמעאלים עצמם אינם מאמינים בראיות אלו. And the man who's making this claim, I guess it was a Jew who was trying to convince other Jews to convert, So the Rambam says even the Yishmaelim don't believe these proofs. They don't accept these proofs. They don't take it as proofs. Because the disproof, the claim against this is very clear. Because they couldn't find the basis in any verse in the Torah, nor in logic, nor in imagination, that they could hang their claims on that. So the Muslims in the Rambam's time made a claim that the Jews had switched the Torah. We faked, we forged. The Torah initially had references to Muhammad, and we forged the Torah, we took it out. And they claim we took out all kinds of names from the Torah. And the earlier claims, no wise Muslim ever made such a claim. That the Rambam says even they know is foolishness. But the best they could do is to claim that we changed the Torah. Even though this claim too, says the Rambam, has nothing to stand on, and everyone knows how easy it is to refute this claim. We know that the Tanakh was translated against our will. That's one of the things we mourn. But bottom line, the Torah was translated. And it was translated to many languages, to Aramaic, to Persian, to Greek, and other languages, the Rambam says, to Roman, many years, a few hundred years before the disqualified one came to the show. So look at all those translations. Why would the Romans erase something from the Torah? Why would the Greeks erase something from the Torah? We have our Sifrei Torah. Let's say they'll say we erased from our Sifrei Torah. How come his name doesn't appear in any of the translations? Ve'od, that those weren't under our rule. Furthermore, says the Rambam, Shim kubelet domi pi domi mzach olam v'ad maravo. We know that the Torah has been passed down from generation to generation across the world. ולא נמצא בכל זה שום חילוף כלל. And we find that the Sifrei Torah in Europe and in Asia and in Africa, well, they all have the same Torah. We don't find any difference. ואפילו בדקדוקי, and even the small things, we find that there's consistency throughout the world. אפילו בין קמץ חטף לשורוק, even between, the Rambam says certain things in grammar. לא נמצא בשום חילוף, we all have the same tradition. ולא צריכו לטענה זו החלושה, אלא שלא מצאו שום ספק בתורה. And the only reason they brought this weak claim is because they couldn't find any doubt in the Torah, any place of doubt that they could maybe attribute to Muhammad. וביאור הדבר ממה שכתוב ומתתיב לגוי גדול, and to clarify things, says the Rambam, when God said to Avram, I will make him into a great nation, about Yishmael, God said, I will make him into a great nation, God didn't mean to say he'll be great, that'll have his own Torah, that'll have prophecy, אלא במניין בלבד. God was telling Avram, Yishmael is going to be a big nation. He's going to number many people. But not that God's going to send them their own prophet. And we find already, when we're discussing those that serve idols, they're called goyim gdolim v'atzumim. God says, you're going to overtake the nations of the land of Israel. And there are nations that didn't have prophets. They're called great nations, simply attesting to their numbers. So the word gadol, when we say a nation is great, that doesn't mean they necessarily will have a prophet. It means that they're going to number many people. V'chen ma she'amar bimod me'od, what God said, I will make you great much, much. Ilu hayta kavana bo she'yitzeh menu ploni, if that's what God meant, that Avram was still going to have an offspring, a great-great-great-grandson named Muhammad, haya omer uverachtiv bimod me'od, God would have said, I will bless him with a lot. Then the one who wanted to make a claim would have had at least spider webs to hang on. To claim that the verse means that he'll be blessed to have an offspring, Muhammad. But being that God said, I will make you, I will bless you a lot. After God said, I will make you multiply, we see that grammatically, when God says a lot, it's a reference to how great God will make Avram. V'sheiten mitzvot uzrovi avdito mizulatam. God clarified in the Torah to Avram, our forefather, may his memory be blessed, that everything he promised him, all the blessings that God promised Avram, and that he'll give his offsprings mitzvos and he'll separate them from the other nations, shebishvil zera Yitzchak bilvad ne'emar zeh, and that this was all said for Isaac alone, ve'lo al zeh ha'acher, and not about the other one. Notice how the Rambam refrains from even using his name. He keeps using other terms, but the Rambam does not want to use his name. Ve'hu samuch umusag levirkat Yitzchak, and we see that it is directly near in juxtaposition to the blessing of Isaac, sheneimar, like the verse that states, v'gam et ben ha'ama, and the son of the maid also, legoya semyenu, I will make him into a nation, ki zarachahu, because he is your offspring. Uve'el bazeh, and in saying this, God clarified, shehaikar, but that the main point, the main blessing of God is Yitzchak, v'zeh ha'acher, and this other one, tafel, is like an adjunct. Ve'od be'er b'firush v'amar, and God again clarified and said, ki v'yitzchak yikare lecha zara, for an Isaac will be called for you an offspring. Yitzchak is called Abraham's continuation. Ve'od, and furthermore, k'shenaskim al Yishmael, sh'afilu ayot zaro harbe b'minyan, one will agree with regard to Ishmael that even though his offsprings are going to number many, lo yeh chasid, no, we don't say Ishmael was a chasid, ולא יהיה לו חן בשלמות האנושית. We don't say that Ishmael had any favor in being a whole person. כדי שתתפרסם בו ותתוודע, that he is famous for it. Anyone claim that Ishmael was a very, very fine person? We don't have that. The Torah says he used to shoot bow and arrow, he used to plunder, he used to steal. The Torah says a lot of things about Ishmael, but it doesn't say he was a very, very fine person. The Jews happen to have on tradition that prior to Ishmael's death, he did tshuva. But the Torah doesn't even say that.
That's a midrash, right? That's why Mary didn't have his head buried in there.
No, that was Esav. Aval titvada chasidutcha bezaracha chasid. But where do we recognize a person's kindness? When he has offsprings that are kind. God tells Avram, you will be recognized by your offspring. So which offspring attests to Avram's kindness? That's the offspring that comes from Isaac. And that's what God meant. God said, but rather in Isaac, you will be called that you have offspring. What do you mean? Yishmael is also his offspring. Genetically, Yishmael is Avram's son as much as Yitzchak is Avram's son. So what does God mean? Yishmael will be called your seed. They're both Avram's seed. No. Because to be called one's continuation, one seed. So the Rambam proves, God said, it says when Yaakov blessed his grandchildren, when he blessed Menashe and Ephraim down in Egypt prior to Yaakov's passing, so Yaakov said, V'yikore vohem shemi, my name should be called upon them. V'shem avotayim, the name of my forefathers. What does Yaakov mean with that blessing? Klomar, yitparsem behem v'yitvada, that through them, through these grandchildren, my name and the names of my forefathers will become public, will become well known. So when we say one's name is called on someone else, that means he publicizes who that person is. If a person walks around and says, I'm the student of the Chafetz Chaim, and people see that he behaves like a derelict, so people say that's no student of the Chafetz Chaim, he's not continuing the Chafetz Chaim way. But if someone walks around, he's a big tzaddik, and then they ask him, where'd you learn? He says, I'm a student of the Chafetz Chaim. So they say, oh, this is really where the Chafetz Chaim taught his students. This is where the Chafetz Chaim meant people should behave. A person can be spreading the Chafetz Chaim's names. That's called, he has the Chafetz Chaim's name on him. By the same token, when God tells Avram, in Yitzchak will be called your seed, Yitzchak will be called your offspring, what God is saying is that Yitzchak is the one that will continue your path, and that's what we see the Torah tells us. That Yitzchak really continued the way of Avram. And then Yitzchak clarified that those blessings that God promised Avram, amongst those blessings was one of the blessings God made for Avram was that he will sustain his covenant, his treaty with him, and his Torah will be within his offsprings. As God said to his offsprings, Vayiti lahem leElohim. I will be for them for a God. Vahakach yuchad Yitzchak, and Yitzchak was then singled out. Vivdilo miYishmael bechol habrachot ha'ilu, and God separated Yitzchak from Yishmael with all these blessings. Kmo shebi'anu. V'ichdov habrit zulat Yishmael, and God singled out Yitzchak that he's in the covenant, and Yishmael is left out of it. Kmo shenemar, as the verse explicitly states, that b'riti akim et Yitzchak. God tells Avram, when God gives him the prophecy that he will have a son named Yitzchak, God tells him, my covenant I will keep with Yitzchak. In the same chapter where God tells Avram, I'll make Yishmael into a great nation, God says, but my covenant is with Yitzchak. My covenant and your offspring, the one that your name is called upon, that's Yitzchak. Achal she'amar b'shvil Yishmael, just after God says about Yishmael, hinei berachti oto, God tells Avram, you wanted blessing for Yishmael? I've blessed him. Fine. But bottom line, my treaty, my covenant is with Yitzchak. Be'er lanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu inyan ze al yedei Yitzchak. And God also clarified this through Yitzchak, she'Yaakov yuchad b'chol ha'brachot ha'ilu zulat Esav. That among Yitzchak's offspring, God says, I've singled out Yaakov and not Esav. V'hu ma she'amar Yitzchak, and that's what Yitzchak, when he knowingly calls in Yaakov. Remember, Yaakov first sneaks in and he gets a whole bunch of blessings. Blessings about having sustenance, having land that produces. But then when it comes to the continuum, the blessing of being the chosen offspring, there Yitzchak knowingly calls in Yaakov. He says, you're on your way out to Padan Aram to find your shidduch. You're on your way out to your uncle, to my brother-in-law. So, V'iten lecha et birkat Avraham, may God give you, Yitzchak tells Yaakov, may he give you the blessing of Avram, lecha ulezaracha itach, to you and your offsprings with you. Hine itbe'er lanu, here the Torah has clarified for us, shema'alat ha-Torah, that this elevated status of having a Torah, shevtiach ba ha-Kadosh Baruch Hu l'Avraham, shetitkayem bizaro, that God promised Avram that his offsprings would have God's Torah, Sheitzchaku ha-miuchad ba. We see Yitzchak was the one singled out in this. V'acharav, and after Yitzchak, Yaakov mizera Yitzchak. Yaakov was singled out among Yitzchak's offsprings. V'chen natzanu ha-navi alav ha-shalom, and so too we find in the prophet, shenatan hoda la-kadosh baruch hu ala tova ha-gdola hazo, that he gave thanks to God for this great favor. Sheken katuv, that's what it says in Tehillim, we say it every morning, asher karat et Avraham. God made the treaty, cut the pact with Avram, ushvuato, and God's vow leYitzchak, he kept it with Yitzchak, vayamida, and he upheld it leYaakov, for Jacob, lechok leYisrael, for a statute for Israel, brit olam, it is an eternal covenant. So this verse in Tehillim clearly shows the lineage that it went from Avram to Yitzchak to Yaakov, and from Yaakov it was sealed as an eternal covenant. And now the Rambam brings a phenomenal proof. What was their claim? They said that Muhammad is written in the Torah because the words bimod meod are gematria Muhammad. So says the Rambam, Uma sheyesh haladat, and what you need to know, sheze Hashem she'ala bedat ha'yishmeilim shekatuv b'Torah she'achzu bo ha'poshim, that this name that the Yishmaelim think was written in the Torah, and that's what the rebellious ones held on to, klomar, bimod meod, shehu mahmad, they want to say that bimod meod is Muhammad, eino mahmad, ela ahmad. It doesn't come out to mahmad, do the gematria. Mahmad is gematria 92, right? And bimod meod is gematria 92. But you have to know, says the Rambam, that Muhammad was always known as Ahmad. He wasn't known as Muhammad. His name was always Ahmad. So now they've given him a new nickname. They call him Muhammad, but that's a new invention. So to say that the gematria refers to a person who wasn't even known by that name, the Rambam says that's ridiculous. He wasn't known as Muhammad. That's a new invention.
Was he even really existing? Is there any proof that this person was existing?
I don't know. In the Torah, for sure not. He came.
No, I mean in other places. Is there any proof that this person ever existed?
I don't know enough of history. I never heard anyone contesting that. I don't know. There are historical. What I read once, historical references to a certain person who led people to war and developed a certain way of religion. Now, the prophecy is a totally different question, but that someone did start this whole thing, I think there is clear reference to that. But I don't know.
I bet there was a guy called Muhammad walking around in somewhere, Iraq or Iran or whatever it was, you know. But like, Saudi Arabia? What? Saudi Arabia? There are a lot of them.
So he says that doesn't work. The Rambam over here made another reference to the Evangelicans. So he says, bottom line, we know that they referred to him as Ahmad historically. And Ahmad isn't the gematria of the name. He says that in the Evangelican, the Evangelicans referred to him as Ahmad, and we see that was his name at that time. So the gematria, the fact that today they call him Muhammad, is irrelevant. But what they claim that when God describes the giving of the Torah, that Hofia mehar Paran, God appeared from the mountains of Paran. That's a historical reference. The Torah is saying when God appeared, even in the Torah, it's speaking in past tense. In the end of the Torah, when Moshe Rabbeinu is finishing his job on his last day, so he recounts with the Jewish people how God came to give them the Torah. So he's speaking in past tense. The Ilu Amar, if the Torah would say Yofia, that God will appear, as Yachol Hayahat To'en Li Lotzetzu Li Talot Bo. Then one who wanted to make a claim could joke around and try to hang on that claim. Aval hoiv amar hofia, but being that the Torah says God in the past tense appeared in Moshe Rabbeinu's time, he's already talking in past tense. Horashu davar shekvar avar. So that already shows that it's a reference to something that had already transpired when Moshe's on his last day. Uviura davar, and really what the pasuk is saying is. Shum Misafer, it's recounting Ma'amad Har Sinai, how the Jews stood at Sinai. V'omer kshenigla al Har Sinai, and the verse is saying that when God appeared at Mount Sinai, lo nigla min ha-shamayim al Har Sinai, kiredet avne al gavish. God did not appear from heavens down to Sinai, like heavenly stones that suddenly come down. Ela nigla le'at, but God appeared slowly. Me'at me'at me'roshei ha'arim. God appeared slowly from the mountaintops. They suddenly saw coming from the different sides as though the Shekhinah was slowly coming towards them. Merosh har, lerosh har, from one mountaintop to another mountaintop. They saw the Shekhinah from a distance coming, slowly approaching them. Ad sheyarad al Sinai, till God descended upon Sinai. V'amar, and that's why the verse describes and says, Hashem mi Sinai ba, God came from Sinai. V'zarach mi Seir lamo, He shone from Seir to them. Hofia mehar Paran, he appeared from the mountains of Paran. Ve'ata merivvot kodesh, and then he came from the myriads of holiness. Mimino eishtat lamo, from his right hand, he came with them with a fiery religion for them. Va'davar muvan lemi sheirtze, and whoever wants to can understand that. What's the verse talking about? Klomar liYisrael, as though to say, to them, to Israel, God came this way and gave them the Torah. They have then, and understand, says the Rambam, Ech diyek, how the verse was very exact. Sheparan shehu yoter rachok, that when the verse says that God came to the Jews, and it's describing how God came from a distance, so to speak, and Paran is more distance, so Ne'emar bo, so then the verse describes it as Hofia, God appeared. When you look out at a distance and suddenly you see a cloud, suddenly you see something, that's called it appeared. That's in a distance. The Seir, Shu Yoter Karov, and when he's describing how God appeared to the Jewish people from Seir that was closer to them, Amal, so there he's described as Zarach, God shown. The Sinai, Shalav Aita Kavana, and with regard to Sinai, that's where we're headed. Uvo Shachana Kavod, and over there is where God's honor, so to speak, rested. Kumoshe Ne'emar, as the verse states, Vaishkon Kvod Hashem al Har Sinai, God's honor rested on Sinai. Amalbos, then in describing that, he says, Misinai ba, from Sinai he came. That's a description of something close. Uchinyan ze sipra dvorak she sipra mamad har Sinai. And Dvora, in her prophecy, in Shoftim, when she describes the standing at Sinai, she also describes it this way, Shakavod nigla le'at le'at mehar lehar, that God's honor was revealed slowly, slowly, from mountain to mountain. Sheken katuv, that's what the verse states, Hashem, b'tzeitecha mi'seir, God, when you left Seir, b'tzeadcha mi'sde Edom, when you marched forward from the fields of Edom, eretz ra'asha gam shamayim natafu, the land trembled, and the heavens dripped. V'alader shebe'aru chachamim zichonam libracha. The way Chazal explained it, she'akadosh baruch hu shalach navi le'edom kodem Moshe Rabbeinu, that God first sent a prophet to Edom before Moshe Rabbeinu came to the Jewish people, lehorot la'im haTorah, to teach them Torah. Notice, we all know the Medrash, that before God offered the Jewish people the Torah, he offered it to the other religions. The Rambam adds his understanding in this Medrash, and he says, what does it mean? That God appeared to the other nations like he appeared to us. They also had a revelation. How did God offer the other nations the Torah? So the Rambam adds his interpretation, that it means that God sent a prophet to Edom to offer the Torah, and they didn't want to accept the Torah. V'chen shalach li Yishmael, and so too God sent to Yishmael to offer them the Torah. V'eraot alem, he showed them the Torah, v'lo kiblu amimenu, and they didn't want to accept it. V'achar kach shalach lanu Moshe Rabbeinu, and then God sent us Moshe, v'kibalnu, and we did accept it. V'amarnu, and we said, kol asher dibber Hashem, all that God spoke, na'aseh, we will perform, v'nishma, and we will also want to hear to understand. V'chol ze davar shaya kodem matan Torah, and all of this is a reference to something that had occurred prior to the giving of the Torah. V'chen ba'u hamilot morot al pe'alim ovrim, and so too the words grammatically refer to actions that happened in the past tense. The whole verse describes how God was ba, God came in the past tense, zarach, God shone in the past tense, hofia, God appeared, all in the past tense, ve'inam la'ba, they are not talking about the future. So the Rambam has disqualified, even though the Rambam said it is unnecessary because everyone knows that these claims have no validity, but nonetheless the Rambam took the time to explain why one by one they have no validity. Their claim that Bimod Mod is a reference, so that claim the Rambam says he was always known as Ahmed. You can't say Gematria for a name that wasn't his name. God appeared from Har Paran, the Rambam said that that's all speaking in the past tense, and that's a tradition we have. And the Rambam also showed how in other prophets that's the way the appearance at Mount Sinai is described. And their claim that we erase things from the Torah, so the Rambam says, you could check the different translations of the Torah that preceded Muhammad by many years, and those translations, you see, nothing was erased from them. And you can also check the texts worldwide, and you see that our Torah is consistent. We didn't erase his name from anywhere in the Torah. So I think this is where we're going to pause for today. Yeah.